My name is Alan Morse. Today we're going to have a teaching, and this teaching is going to be dealing with Galatians. And I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11. And get your Bibles out, and this is a Bible study, and get your pencils and papers out so you can write some things down when you need to. And this is truly, truly interesting, and I think you'll truly enjoy it. Okay, we'll start with verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. It says that when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, see? But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them who were of the circumcision. You see, he came into this church, and he dealt with this church. These were gospel-believing Jews, not Jews, but Gentiles. And he would eat with them. But when James came, he separated from them, and he went to be with them. And totally separated from them. And so then the other Jews dissembled in a like manner with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their hypocrisy. You see. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before all them, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of a Gentile, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentile to live as do the Jews? You see, there was always the problem, see. They were Peter, James, and John, and their influence on these churches that believed the gospel for their salvation, who were Gentiles, were continued or trying to put Judaism into these churches. And it was continual a problem all the way to the end, as far as that's concerned. So Paul really was upset about it. It says, verse 15, it says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. See, they're justified not by the works of the law, but the faith of Jesus. And so, what is the faith of Jesus? Well, it doesn't say faith in Jesus. It says the faith of Jesus. Well, you see, Jesus, his faith was always toward the Father. It was always toward the Father. You see, Jesus totally relied on the Father for everything. And we can see that, and most people don't understand it, but let's turn over to John. Turn to John so you can understand. In John chapter 14, this is tremendously important, and most people don't understand this. But let's look at it. John chapter 14. I'm going to start at verses 8. We're dealing with Philip. And Philip said unto him, to the Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said unto them, have I not been such a long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? You see, the average person can't comprehend the fellowship that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're all one. I mean, they always have been. God the Father and the Son were one. And he used the Son of God to communicate with the people on this earth. So he couldn't do it, see. Because he is so great and so powerful and so mighty, he couldn't come on this earth and communicate with people. But he could do it spiritually. And he could do it through his Son, the Son of God, which was Jesus, of course. He took on a body, see, and he came down on this earth to pay the sin debt. And he had to have a body, human body, because he had to die. But his regular body, he didn't die. See, he was God. But all the time, Jesus, through the Spirit, was living with, the Father was living with Jesus through the Spirit all the time, with him, totally. And look at what it says. verse 10, it says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" See, they were one. See? "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me." You see, Jesus never spoke a word whatsoever when he was on this earth. Everything that he said, it was the God speaking through him. See, where was Jesus' faith? Obviously in God, because he was speaking through him. Well, also, what did it say next? "He doeth the works." God did the works. Jesus never healed a person on this earth. Not one. It was God working through him. He just said that. I didn't. The book says that. Jesus didn't heal a person. He didn't heal any of those people that were sick, the blind, or those that couldn't see. I mean, same thing. Those who couldn't hear, those who couldn't speak, those that were crippled, you know, those who had diseases, those that was just, he spoke and the seas quit, was having a big storm. They just stopped at his voice. It was the Father doing the speaking. It was Father doing the healing. It was Father doing all the works. And so where do you think that his faith was? It was always to the Father. It was always to the Father. Now think about it. Think about this. See, Jesus did nothing on this earth except the Father working through him. But there was one thing that God couldn't do. God couldn't die. God couldn't die, and Jesus could, because he took on a human body to do just that. So he could pay the sin debt. He loved the people on this earth. He loved you and me so greatly that he went to the cross to die to pay for your sins and mine. Every sin that I've ever committed or will commit has been paid for by Christ. People can't understand that. They can't understand that. They think if you sin, you lose your salvation. If you believe the gospel, you look at to Jesus, and he has totally paid for your sins. You know, when the old devil, I make a mistake, the old devil sitting up there condemning me, he'll say, "Look there, look at there, Al Moore, he's just sinned. He's one of yours, he sinned. What's Jesus going to say?" My blood was sufficient. I've covered his sin. What can the devil say? And it's true. And it happened the second I believe the gospel. The second I believe the gospel, you see. Jesus. And that's why Jesus pointed to him on what he did on the cross for our salvation. Because it's actually what he did on that cross is what saved us. And so he told us, for your salvation, you just believe it. Just believe it. Believe that Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. That, you just believe it. That's all he asked you to do. Let's go back to Galatians. I just thought that was wonderful to understand that. And it sure made a difference in my life when I understood it. Go back to Galatians. And let's see where we were at. We were in chapter 2. And we just found out we were talking about the faith of Jesus in verse 16. And so the faith of Jesus Christ, you see, it says that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. See, we're just now. See, Jesus had so much faith in God. See, that his faith allowed him to go to the cross, because he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that God was going to be with him, and God was going to also raise him from the dead. And if he hadn't had that faith, you see, we wouldn't have had a gospel. We wouldn't have had the gospel. He could have walked off and we would still be in our sins. Because of his faith in God, he went it. Why do you think he felt so bad when all of a sudden they poured out all the sins on us, on Jesus? I mean, all of our sins were poured out and God had to turn away. See? And that's why Jesus said, "My God, why did thou forsake me?" God couldn't look upon him anymore because he was sin. He had my sin and your sin, and the sin of every person on this world was on him, and God couldn't look upon him because of he was sin. And here they were one all the time. There's that one time that God couldn't be with him. He had to go through it himself. But he did, and he volunteered to do it. But God did raise him from the dead. See, he raised him from the dead, justified by the faith of Christ. See, and not by our works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You see, I got people that I know that thinking that are keeping the law that they're going to be saved. You know, but they haven't read the book, have they? For by works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 17, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are to be found sinners, and therefore Christ is a minister of sin, God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. See, I might live unto God. See, we're dead to the law, but we live unto God. The greater things than that is that God lives in us. And that's the way salvation is perfect. This salvation is perfect. The law wasn't. The law was just a schoolmaster. All it did was show that we needed a Savior. If you couldn't be saved by the law, it's because you couldn't keep the law. In God's eyes, the law was perfect, you see. The law was perfect. But you see, in man, they couldn't keep it. And they can't keep it. It's impossible to keep it. So, but what by grace is perfect. The second time around, they got it perfect. Grace is perfect. Why? Because Jesus and God is in total control. You see, by grace you are saved. Through faith, you see. Let's just turn to that clause. Let's go to Ephesians. It's the next one to the right. Go to Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Look what it says. Turn to verse 8. For by grace you've been saved. What's grace? Unmerited favor. For by grace you are saved through faith. Through faith. Faith in what? The gospel. There's no other faith in that counts. It's will of faith in Jesus. No. It's the faith of what he did is what saved you. It's what he did is what saved you. It's not our faith in Jesus that saved us. It's our faith in what he did. Because what he did is what saved us. Because if he hadn't died on that cross, we would have never, ever been saved. And would never go to heaven. And that's where God points our faith to. He points it to the cross. You see. For by faith we are saved. Not of ourselves. You see. It is a gift of God. See. Our salvation is a total gift to God. It's unmerited favor. That's what grace means. We don't merit it at all. He gives it to us. It's a gift to God. And you see, you don't work for a gift. It's unmerited favor he gives you. When somebody hands you a gift, you don't go work for it. He just gives it to you. It's a gift of God. Not of works. See, it says it, 9, verse 9. Not of works, lest anybody should boast. Now think about that a second. Think about that. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be any I in heaven. Because every reason why we're there has nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with Christ. He did it all. He did it all. There's not going to be somebody walking up to you and say, boy, well, you made it out. Well, I know I was a preacher down on the best, biggest church in town, and I saved many people, and I provided missionaries, took care of missionaries, and I did this, and I did this. Now, why are you here? That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Because everything that he did, even if he was saved, anything that he did is going to burn up. You see, only thing that's going to be worth anything is what God did through him. And if he claimed it all, he got his glory right there. But he not going to get a reward in heaven, because he's going to watch everything that he did, that he claimed that he did. See, he's going to watch it burn up. So what's he going to have to brag about? You see, nobody will have anything to brag about. Because if you bring something to heaven to brag about, it's going to burn up. It's going to be over with. Because everything in heaven, there's no I in heaven. It's all Christ. It's all God. Everything. And all we can do is look to him and praise God for the world we're at. And you see, everything that I'm telling you has nothing to do with me. It's God speaking through me. And I praise God for everything that he's done through me. And he's worked abundantly through me. And I praise him for that. I praise Him for that, because this isn't that old Al talking to you. You see, this is God speaking to me, because the Holy Spirit lives in me. See, lives in me. I hope He lives in you too. Let's go back to Galatians then. Let's look at verses 20. This is just phenomenal. This is phenomenal. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You see, I feel the same way. You see, when I believed the gospel, I believed for my salvation, I believed that when Christ died on that cross, I died on that cross too. That old sin nature of mine. I believe that. It died on that cross. And when He was buried, see, I believe that old sin nature of mine was buried. But when I rose again, I believe, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I became a whole new creation. And old things have passed away. And all things become new. And it's exactly what's happened to me. And so when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, I relate to that. Because I was. You see, that old sin nature, it don't have a hold of me anymore. You see, when you have Jesus living in you, it makes all the difference in the world. Said before, probably you may have heard it, but just think about this. You know, if you're a bunch of men all out here going to a football game, and you're standing there waiting to get in the gate, and you're talking and everything, and a whole bunch of you, and somebody's over here telling an off-color joke, and every once in a while somebody says a bad word, and they just get rowdy and kind of act stupid, and then all of a sudden the pastor walks up. He likes football too. And all of a sudden people recognize who he is. You know, people aren't telling any bad jokes no more. People are watching their language. You know, and, you know, they're just trying to, you know. But, you know, that's what happens when the pastor walks up to you. What do you think is going to happen to you when Jesus lives in you? You're not going to want to sin. That's the last thing you want to do. You're not going to want to sin. It isn't going to be a part of your life anymore. I'm not saying you're not going to make a mistake. But that's what the grace of God will take care of. But He'll pick you up and He'll draw you closer to Him when you do sin. But you don't want to sin. If everybody didn't want to sin, we wouldn't need any police officers, you see. We wouldn't need any jails. Because if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And you don't want to do it. It's just kind of like me. I don't like Brussels sprouts. If it's not served, I won't eat them. Because I don't want them. That's the same way I feel about sin. I don't like them. I don't like sin. I don't want to do with it. I want nothing to do with sin. And that's because God lives in me. And I'm hoping that you will believe the gospel for your salvation, so that God can move in with you. And you can have that wonderful experience of having God living with you. It's just beyond my imagination. Look what it says. I'm crucified with Christ. Yet I live, yet not I, see. But Christ liveth in me. See, He's not dead. We didn't die because we were crucified. I live, yet not I. It's not I anymore. It's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, right now, Al Morse, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not the faith in the Son of God, but by the faith of Him. You see, it's because of his faith that he went to the cross. His faith in God. That's because of his faith. He went to the cross to pay for my sins. Because he knew that God would be with him all the way through it. The only place God couldn't be there is when the sins hit him. Because he's righteous. He can't look upon sin. But he was there to pick him up and raise him from the dead. And he'll do the same for you. He will do the same for you, because when you believe the gospel, you'll be sealed with that Holy Spirit. And when you're sealed with that Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you also. Romans chapter 8, verses 11. Read it. Think how wonderful that is. Think how wonderful that is. Jesus, is the same Spirit that was in Christ now is in you. And it's just fantastic. He says, verse 21, he says, I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. You see, when people look at the law, if the law truly would save, if people who kept the law could truly be saved, there would be no reason for Christ to go to the cross. But you see, they weren't saved. They weren't saved. And that's it, that was just, that's horrible. Think about that. And let me show you something that we need to go to get an idea. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. And let's look at verses. Let's look at verses 16. And this is when the rich man came to Jesus and wanted salvation. Listen to this. He says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good. No, not one. That is, only one is good, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments, he told him. And he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt, he said, which commandment? He said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And then go down to 25 just to save time. And the disciples heard it. They were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He knew the law wouldn't save him. With man's law, man could not be saved, because no one is good. Not one. Only God's good. And we're all sinners. And we cannot be saved. There's no way we can be saved. Nothing we can do. It says, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Well, what was going on at this time? He was just a few days from the cross. Jesus was just a few days from the cross. And when he went to that cross, he made all things possible. When he died on that cross, he paid the sin debt for every person in this world, from Adam to the last person on this world. You see, everyone. And as long as he asks you to do, is to believe that he did it. See, that's all he's asking you to do, and that's the gospel. If you believe that he did it, he died for your sins. See, and when you do that, you are saved. In other words, you're good. You see, God can look on you because you're good, because you have no sin. You see, he already knew it, but he couldn't teach it then. You see, but he had, because he hadn't gone to the cross. But now, all he asks us to do is believe what he did on that cross, and he makes everybody good. You see, there was no good person, no one good except God. Now, when you believe the gospel, you become good, because Jesus has paid for every sin that you've ever committed or will commit. And all he asks you to do is believe that. How wonderful, isn't that? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, what a wonderful God we have. It just blows my mind how he loved us so much that he would die for us. And that's exactly what he did. He died for us. Let's look at verse, this is chapter 3, verses 1. We only have a couple minutes, but we're going to get started on this. It says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What's the truth? What's the truth? You have not obeyed the truth. Well, just turn, this is Ephesians. Turn the next page over, a couple pages, Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the truth? Verses 13, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit from it. When Paul uses the truth, when he uses the truth, he's always talking about the gospel. When he's using the power, says the power of God, he's always talking about the gospel. Turn over to Romans, back to Romans, chapter 1. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Remember that. When the truth is talked about, it's the gospel. And look what it says in Romans about the power. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation. See? To everyone that believeth. See? The power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. It didn't say believeth and baptized. It didn't say believeth and join a church. It didn't say believeth in speaking in tongues or talk or teaching, talking or praying to Mary or praying to the saints. It was just believe the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. You see, believeth the gospel. Believeth the gospel. And we'll stop at this. But just remember that. When you hear the power of God, that's the gospel. See? That's the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time we had again to teach you your word and just be with us and be with each person listening. And I pray that they would all come to the saving knowledge of the gospel. Amen.